Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
To the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback Podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. This is going to be a fun one because we're talking about the depth chart at the tight end position. And most, me included, thought the San Francisco 49ers were probably going to address tight end in some shape or form during the NFL draft. But the draft came and the draft went and the 49ers didn't address it. Now, they did go ahead and sign a UDFA. As far as Mason Plein, 6'7", 260 pounds, big physical guy out of Fordham. He had played college basketball before that. So athleticism, raw talent, somebody the 49ers can definitely work with. But is that the addition that the 49ers needed? I think most believe no. And the 49ers didn't really address it in free agency. They did go out and get Eric Saubert. So they signed someone there, and they've signed some other guys a little less known. But I want to go through the depth chart. We know who's at the top, but I also want to go through the other guys and give some conversation about who they are and what they're about, because I think there's tight ends on this roster, maybe even that people don't really know about, and there's going to be a competition between several of these players to make the roster. Are the 49ers even done? There's guys out there like Robert Tonyan still available the 49ers could go with. We know that I have said for a while in free agency that with Tonyan's money and the way that he's able to play, he would be a solid option for the San Francisco 49ers. They have yet to go down that route. Could it be financially or is it just vision? Kyle Shanahan has to have a vision for you. We saw him just go with two wide receivers. Does he want to run more 11 personnel this year? Maybe he does. If that's the case, he might not put as high a value on bringing in a free agent tight end for his 12 and 22 personnel packages. So a lot of it has to go with vision of Kyle Shanahan and how he feels this league is starting to defend him and how he wants to adjust to how the league defends him. Kyle Shanahan is usually a step ahead. When everyone was going to 11 personnel like Sean, because of Sean McVay and what he was doing with Kupp and the rest of that wide receiver room in Los Angeles, Kyle Shanahan was running more 12 and 22 personnel and having two tight ends and a fullback on the field than anyone else. This last year, Atlanta was the only one who ran more two tight end sets than the San Francisco 49ers. So there's a lot of things the 49ers could definitely do. And there are question marks because the 49ers drafted two tight ends last season. They drafted Cameron Latu and Braden Willis. And there's a lot of question marks about them. And we're going to talk all about the question marks and go through this depth chart and how it currently sits. One thing we do know, Cameron Latu is not tight end two. Kyle Shanahan made that perfectly clear, and I think he was honest the way he said it. Some thought it sounded mean. Others thought he was attacking potentially the reporter. And I think he was saying, hey, how can I possibly know Cameron Latu is tight end two? He hasn't even been practicing with the football team. Because, of course, once you go on IR, season-ending IR, you do not practice with the team. You can practice with the physical trainers. You can go get that work in on your own. But at the team facility, you weren't allowed to do that. So he was in team meetings, but he wasn't practicing on the field, so how could he possibly be tight end two? I think that's a very good question. Like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Appreciate everyone that's been subscribing. If you're listening on audio platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen, 49ers Cutback on Believe, please give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. So we know where the tight end room starts, with George Kittle. I mean, George Kittle is the 49ers end-all at tight end, and he has been absolutely fantastic for this football team over the last several years. He's just impactful. Last season, he saw a late-season emergence. It did really well. Now, a lot of people talked about the fact maybe he didn't have the playoffs that a lot of people were expecting, and I think that's a fair assessment, but George Kittle does so much for the 49ers football team, from blocking to catching the football and making big plays, that he's definitely one of the most impressive players on the entire roster and a real pillar to this 49ers foundation of a team that they're continuing to build around. So we know George Kittle is that one. And the question really hasn't been who's tight end one or what's going to happen there, but it's been tight end two. And the 49ers have tried to address it a bunch of different ways. Of course, first off, they've had Ross Dwelly. He was tight end two in 2019, and he had a pretty good season, enough that a lot of people were very high on him. But Kyle Shanahan envisioned something else for that tight end room in 2020. He brought in Jordan Reed, a guy that could be a power slot physical player within the slot and potentially make some plays there. Now, of course, that didn't work out. George Kittle was never really healthy, so we didn't see those two guys on the field. Jordan Reed got injured a little bit, and then at the end of the season ended up retiring. The 49ers had drafted Charlie Warner to handle a lot of the blocking, and he was the tight end three. Him and Ross Dwelly would compete. And the 49ers have had a rotational door of guys coming in and potentially helping this team out, from Tyler Kroft to other veterans, Mecole Pruitt. They've just been looking for that guy. And now I've believed for a while that the 49ers were looking for a tight end that could be balanced. I think they thought Charlie Warner could develop into a pass catcher. That never materialized. He really struggled. So the 49ers did what everyone kind of expected last season. They decided that they were going to go out and they were going to draft two tight ends, and they were going to get two tight ends from a very deep draft class. A draft class that saw the Green Bay Packers end up with three, and all of them helped them in the playoffs. That's how talented that room was. So the 49ers, who did they go get? Cameron Latu was shocked a lot of people, a tight end who is translating from playing defensive end at Alabama, and a guy that the 49ers took with a third-round comp pick. That shocked a lot of people. A lot of people had grades further down the board, and we know the 49ers kind of move at the beat of their own drum when it comes to this, and I had a late four, early fifth-round grade on him. But I don't think it was too shocking when you take him as a compensatory pick, because compensatory pick at the end of the third round is basically a fourth round pick. 49ers get Cameron Latu. Latu is going to be a pass threat. He's a guy that was more known for catching the football and being able to create with yards after the catch than a guy that was an inline blocker. He was believed to be a developmental inline blocker. The problem was, we got to training camp, and not only was he developmental inline blocker, but he struggled to catch the football. Cameron Latu was thinking too much. It was very clear. I was out there at training camp watching and evaluating Cameron Latu, and you could see he was trying to remember everywhere he was supposed to be. He was trying to remember when he was in line, when he was off ball, when he was a move tight end, when he was supposed to go in motion, when he was supposed to go across and remember his blocking as far as wham blocking or just going in motion and stock blocking. There was a lot of things on Cameron Latu's mind. And you saw it, because then he was thinking, and when you're thinking, you're not playing. So he had the drops, and it was evident he was doing the best he possibly could to counteract those drops. It wasn't like he wasn't trying. There was a real frustration with Cameron Latu on every single drop, and the frustration was building on the sidelines. It was building in the crowd. The fans were definitely not happy, and a lot of people started saying Cameron Latu was a bust. I'm not one of those guys because I like to give players the opportunity to develop. I don't want to put this on Cameron Latu. I don't think he's in any way, shape, or form Jerry Rice. But Jerry Rice struggled with drops his rookie season. It's not something that's uncommon. This happens a lot. Latu translating to the position late in college is probably a big reason why he had a lot of drops. What do I like about Latu? I mean, you see it. The body is big, 6'5", 250 pounds. He moves really well for his size. In college, he had great hands and was a guy that could operate in the red zone. So you see the talent, has the ability to be an inline blocker, a willing blocker. So you're like, man, we got a guy. Braden Willis was brought in to be the move tight end. And he was also brought in to fill Charlie Warner's role as a guy that could be an inline blocker as tight end too, with more ability to catch the football, more upside in the receiving game. Braden Willis, I'm sure they had a very high grade on, but he was available in the seventh round, so they doubled up at the position. I thought for sure that was a great pick. Here you go. We've got a receiving threat in Latu that's going to develop as a blocker and a great blocker who's going to develop as a receiver. It was the best of both worlds. You were replacing the Charlie Warner blocker with a guy with more receiving upside, and you were replacing Ross Dwelly's pass catching with a guy who had more blocking upside. And it was more athletic and bigger. It just seemed like the perfect matchup. Braden Willis did everything he was supposed to do. He developed during the season. Did he develop to the level that maybe some people expected him to do? No, but when it came to playoffs, when it came to Super Bowl, guess who was out there in critical snaps? Braden Willis. Braden Willis right now is tied into walking in day one. And why do I say that? Because the moment was not too big for Braden Willis. The understanding of the offense was not too big for Braden Willis. And he was out there practicing every single day. Kyle Shanahan said, one of the prerequisites for being tied into was being out there every single day. Well, he was, and he's one of the only guys who was out there every single day. He got a lot of good play out on the field, a lot of experience playing, including a Super Bowl. No moment's now going to be too big for Braden Willis. Did he develop as a pass catcher? Don't know. There wasn't really any targets that went his way, and the 49ers still leaned on Charlie Warner early on. Warner, of course, moved on to Atlanta, got a big contract, 4 years, $12 million. He's out on his own, so congratulations to Charlie Warner. So Braden Willis right now is behind George Kittle. Now, who's tight end three? This is where I'm going to probably surprise some people. Some people probably wouldn't go this direction, but I'm going with Cameron Latu, and the belief is still there for me. I think the 49ers have value in Cameron Latu. Now, he's going to have to go out there and prove it. They're giving this guy nothing. He has to make sure that he can prove he's that guy. If he can go out there and he can stay healthy, which it was a freak thing and probably should have been on IR with current rules, he would have been able to come back during the season. Last year, they put him on IR that shut him down for the whole year. He would have been available 4 or 5 weeks into the season. So for Latu, I'm sure it was frustrating. But what did he have the whole season to do? Get in the classroom, learn the offense, learn his responsibilities. Now he's going to have a jump on training camp this season. I think we're going to start to hear positive things about what happens in OTAs. Cameron Latu showing up and making big catches. Cameron Latu understanding his roles and doing what he's supposed to do. This is his time to step up. And the 49ers' best case scenario is for Braden Willis and Cameron Latu in whatever order to be tight ends two and three. Now, Latu has the more upside. He has the higher ceiling, the ability to be a big-time pass catcher and be able to block. He's a guy that at some point, if he developed right, and this is what the 49ers saw, could spell George Kittle if you needed it. So 49ers got two potentially good football players right there with Braden Willis and Cameron Latu, and I'm putting them at two and three, even though I could see the 49ers not putting Latu at three initially stepping into training camp because there are some veterans we're going to talk about. But to me, Cameron Latu still got some ability. I haven't given up on him yet. Doesn't mean if we see him at training camp and he's still struggling to catch the ball, that we won't start really getting frustrated and potentially, you know, looking the other way. But I think Latu's got something there. I still look back, went back and watched his film, And I mean, Latu and Brandon Willis were better than almost all of the tight ends that were in this draft that just happened. So value there. There was some good tight ends, but when you look at the measurables, the athleticism, the ability there, I think these guys would have been second round picks in this year's draft compared to last year where you had Sam Laporta at some really, really good tight ends. So who's fourth? It's going to be Eric Saubert. And it's a guy that played for the Broncos, was spent a little bit of time in the Miami Dolphins, Mike McDaniel system, right? But also spent time with the Broncos, a similar system there because of who the coach was that season. Now, they had a really bad season in 2022, but it's a system that at least has some of the similar prospects. So Eric Saubert's coming. When you watch him, he's not as athletic as the two guys we just talked about with Latu and Brandon Willis, but he's a solid tight end. He presents himself as a guy that's balanced and able to catch the football. He does a good job with all that. And he's also a guy that's got some athleticism to him, and he hurdles over some guys, adds special teams value as well. This is a more complete tight end. I think this is your Ross Dwelly replacement. He's not going to kill you with athleticism. He's not going to dominate when it comes to blocking, but he's good enough, and he's also a good catcher of the football. So Eric Saubert, this guy, helps on special teams. I think he's the Ross Dwelly type player, and he's insurance in case your two guys can't step up. If Brandon Willis is struggling in the blocking department, you don't feel like so confident in him as tight end two to block in the Charlie Warner role, you put Saubert in that role. If Latu's not really reaching expectations as far as catching the football, Saubert could be an option to catch the football because he's more in tune with catching the ball than Charlie Warner or Ross Dwelly at this point. I think the 49ers have kind of given up on Ross Dwelly. So I think he is the next guy on the list. Now, here's where it gets interesting. 49ers have a few tight ends they've brought in just recently. We talked Plyne. I'm going to talk about him in a minute. But Jake Tongas out of Cal. And so I went and looked him up. He was an undrafted free agent signed by the Bears last season. So he went undrafted in what was an extremely talented tight end draft. I mean, last year's was crazy good. And they signed him, and he's a guy that has a lot of versatility to play as an inline blocker, but to also be a guy that can play in the backfield. And why it made it interesting to me is because he actually made the Chicago Bears 53-man roster last year, and albeit not as talented a roster as the San Francisco 49ers, but he was listed as a fullback and, in fact, scored a touchdown playing fullback and catching the ball in the backfield. He wore number 46 for the Chicago Bears. Now, the Bears in November ended up releasing him, signing him to the practice squad, and then in January, a futures deal. He eventually gets released from that, and he ends up with the San Francisco 49ers. But a guy I'm sure they had some interest in because he spent time at Cal. Last year, they didn't really have any openings at tight end or openings at fullback because they were definitely trying other guys there. So he's going to be an interesting player. And watching him on film, he's a guy that's got some athleticism. He's got some range to be able to go up and get the football. He looks athletic, can make people miss in space. He runs a 4.7 40. He's not hyper-athletic. He's 6'4". He's 240 pounds, so he's a little bit undersized. But he's got something there. So he's an interesting prospect that I think could be a dark horse to make the San Francisco 49ers roster if they elect to go four tight ends or potentially if somebody gets hurt, then he's an option. I also think he's a real possibility to be on the 49ers practice squad. Because when you have position versatility like this, then potentially you can step in case something happens and you need to bring someone up. All of a sudden you have an injury to Kyle Juszczyk. You bring in a guy who's played fullback in the league and understands some of what you have to do at the position, and that's an easy transition for him. That versatility to be able to play inline H-back and play in the slot as a tight end is very huge. So he's going to be somebody to watch during training camp. I think he's a lot of fun. So that's Jake Tongas was with the Chicago Bears last year. So everyone keep an eye on him. If you don't know anything about him, go watch some of his film. There's also some interviews when he was preparing for the draft process. He talks about some of his favorite players like George Kittle, which I found interesting as well. But who's not going to be a huge fan of George Kittle? So Tongas, a guy to pay attention to. Also, 49ers have reportedly signed Cade Brewer, former tight end from Texas. He was playing in the Arena Football League, and he's undersized. He's 6'2", 235 pounds. Not exactly a prototypical tight end. A guy like Jaheim Bell was that size coming out of Florida State this season. He went in the seventh round. Brewer went undrafted and then ended up signing with the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I ended up doing some research on him, watching his film, seen an athletic tight end who had good hands and made catches. Definitely a guy that's a better move tight end and a guy that's a better receiving threat. But there were some interesting things about him that I learned from one of the interviews I watched. First off, they asked him to compare himself to a player in the NFL. And this is a tight end. This is a guy who's played tight end a lot. And you're expecting to hear, you know, the normal tight ends that you would hear. Gronkowski, you know, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, right? You're expecting all that. No, the player that he picks that his game most resembles, Kyle Juszczyk. I thought that was interesting because this is a guy that could definitely do what we just talked about with Tongas, is come in and have some of that responsibilities, a guy that could handle some of the Kyle Juszczyk role if it's needed. So the 49ers are finding a particular type of player, an undersized tight end that's athletic enough to handle some of the responsibilities but also can block, with both of these guys having fullback potential. And we know the 49ers don't really carry an extra fullback, so you have to have tight ends that are versatile. That's what Braden Willis is kind of expected to do and why he should be one of the top three tight ends, because he can step in that fullback role, learning what Juszczyk did. And we've seen him do some of it in training camp, so that's the most likely outcome. But finding guys, you got Saubert, who's got one role, and then you've got the next two guys in Tongas and Brewer who have some versatility when it comes to playing off the ball, move tight ends, getting in motion, playing slot tight end. There's just some interesting roles there and some talent that you have at these certain guys. Both of them 4'7", you know, not a tremendous amount of athleticism, but a unique set of skills that potentially Kyle Shanahan can use. So 49ers bringing in some young guys who were undrafted free agents, who are hungry, who have position versatility at the position. Cade Brewer and Tongas, both guys, interesting. One out of Cal, and then Cade Brewer out of Texas, and a lot of people very familiar with him. He caught a lot of passes from Ellenberger and was very, very good in his time in Texas. And then last but not least, Mason Plein. And the reason I put Tongas and I put Brewer ahead of Plein is they've played in the NFL. These are guys who have experience playing football in the NFL. One of them playing football and tight end, the other one playing tight end. To me, those guys are just going to trump Plein a little bit. But there's plenty of reason to be excited about Plein, because he's 6'7", he's 260 pounds, he runs a 4.8 40, but had athleticism enough to play college basketball. 33-inch vertical leap at 6'7" means he can go up there and he can bring the football down. He became more of a threat in the receiving game as his career went on, and he looks like a guy that can make some things happen in the red zone. The blocking definitely has to get better, and I wonder how quickly he's going to transition, the way Cameron Latu struggled from going and playing college football to playing NFL football. I wonder if Plein's going to have the same problem. But it's a tremendous amount of athletic ability that you can bet on. And let's just see what happens. The 49ers don't have another player on this roster that resembles him at all. The closest is Cameron Latu. Latu, 6'5". Him and George Kittle, the biggest, you know, receiving threats the 49ers have. Maybe Chris Conley at 6'4", but athleticism-wise, Plein doesn't quite reach those guys' expectations, but height-wise and also wingspan-wise, he does. Plein is an interesting one, definitely. I think the likelihood is that Plein ends up either on the 49ers practice squad, maybe as a developmental talent, even though I would say that Tongas and also Brewer, to me, could also be potential practice squad players because of their flexibility to play fullback. You might get them to where you're training them in a couple of positions just in case you have something happen to Kyle Juszczyk or Braden Willis. You elevate them from the practice squad and you have a player capable. So 49ers not just building their 53-man roster, but also trying to build out and fill out their practice squad with players they would feel comfortable with being able to step up in case of injury. 49ers have gotten better and better and better at this, at making sure they build a Rolodex and they have players within the building that can handle any situation thrown at them. You give them the offense, you see if they can pick it up. If they can handle it, then you know you've got a player you can count on later. So 49ers definitely hope that the top three tight ends are going to be George Kittle, Brandon Willis, and Cameron Latu. But now they've got players that just in case one of those guys don't step out or step up, they can make it happen. So let me know what you think about the tight end depth chart. Would you have it the same way as me? Just to review, I have it George Kittle, Brandon Willis, Cameron Latu, Eric Saubert. That's kind of the big signing that they had. Wasn't really a huge signing, but once they couldn't pry the tight end from the Detroit Lions, they went with Saubert. Then Jake Tongas, who played fullback and tight end for the Chicago Bears last year out of Cal. Cade Brewer from Texas, who thinks his game's a lot like Kyle Juszczyk. And then Mason Plyne, the big undrafted free agent from Fordham, 6'7", 260. Do you have it the same? Would you change it up a little bit? You have no belief in Cameron Latu. I'm curious to hear what you have to say. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see what these guys can do in training camp. And for a lot of people, the first time they're going to see him is going to be the preseason. And I'm hoping that we see Cameron Latu making plays. We're seeing Brandon Willis making plays. Those are good situations for the 49ers. But keep your eye out on Tongas. I'm kind of interested to see what he does. Some of his film was pretty fun to watch. You know, if you just have a little bit extra time, go hop on. Just watch his highlights for a second. See if you like the player enough, and then you can go ahead and watch some old film the way that I do. But thank you guys so much for watching. Like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. If you're listening to audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe, please give it a 5-star rating. This episode was brought to you by Bet Online, where the game starts. I'll catch you guys in the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.